Now returning to the Word of God tonight, to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4 tonight. And we're coming to 1 John chapter 4 and coming down to verse number 8, please. And then we're going to take another wee reading from John's Gospel chapter number 5. Now we go to John's Gospel chapter 4. And come with me, please, now to verse number 8. And listen, if you have come here tonight with no Bible, don't you be worrying about it. I'll read it nice and I'll read it slow. And if there's somebody sitting beside you tonight that has a copy of God's Word, maybe they'd be kind enough to share that with you. All right, we're in 1 John chapter 4. And come with me down to verse number 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now slip up to verse number 9 again. I want to read that verse. Verse number 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Now come with me to John's Gospel chapter number 5, please. John's Gospel chapter number 5. The Gospel of John chapter number 5. And the Lord Jesus is speaking. And mind you, when the Lord Jesus speaks, we need to listen to what the Lord Jesus says. John chapter 5, Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 39. The Lord Jesus speaks and he says, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious truth. Tonight you will have no problem in remembering the text that God wants to speak through tonight. Now I know the older you get, and mind you, I'm getting this way myself. I know it's hard to believe when you look at me. You start to lose your memory a wee bit. Now your memory will be bad tonight if you can't remember my text. My text tonight is the heartbeat that gives the good news of the gospel, friend, its life. And my text tonight just only contains three words. And it appears twice in our scripture reading in 1 John 4. Verse number 8, verse 16. What do you think my text is tonight? God is love. Will you repeat that after me, please? You ready? After two. One, two. God is love. We'll do it again now. You can do it better than that. God is love. Very good. But here's the $60 million question. Do you believe that text? I'll tell you why I ask you the question, do you believe that text? Because many people challenge that text. Many people come to me and they'll tell me, George McConnell, if God is love tonight, if God is love, why is there so much suffering in the world? You know, it's an awful thing. People have no time for God. People have no thought for God. People have no concern for God. But when trouble comes, when tragedy strikes, who's the first person to blame? They blame God. Isn't that a funny thing? Even atheists, they'll tell you they don't believe in God. When things go wrong, who's the first person to blame? Oh, the one above, they'd say. Oh, I've been asked the question. If God is love, George, if God is love, why had my wee child to die? If God is love tonight, why does God allow some wee helpless child to die? Maybe that's a question that has been paining your heart for years. Maybe that's why you're not saved tonight, love. If God is love tonight, you may say to me, hey, why had my wee granny to die the most horrible death, the cancer? A wee woman that done nobody any harm. A wee woman of prayer. If God is love tonight, why did God allow my wee granny to die so horribly? In our own home, the question was asked this week. If God is love, why did God allow Cindy to be killed tragically on the road last Thursday evening? A lady who wasn't only beautiful on the outside, she was beautiful in the inside. And the way I comfort the family is this, I says, listen. Two things. God doesn't guarantee any person a long life. And my sister-in-law is in heaven tonight. Thank God she is in heaven. Now, why do terrible things happen, friends? And why does God allow things to happen? Would you like the answer? Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, it's not God's fault, dear. The problem lies away back in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 3. And that's where the root of all problems and all suffering and all pain and all death comes, friend. That's where it all stems from. Why, what happened in Genesis chapter 3? You know what happened in Genesis chapter 2? God spoke to man, the first man that ever lived on this earth. His name was Adam. And God gave Adam a choice. God said to Adam, listen, Adam, do you see that tree yonder in the middle of the garden, in the midst of the garden? I do, he says. He says, listen, Adam, you can eat of every tree in the garden. You may freely eat of it, but you see yon tree in the midst. Thou shalt not eat of it now, because in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. And God gave man a choice. God gave man a free choice. What did man do? Man disobeyed God. Man disobeyed God. And because man disobeyed God and he took of the fruit and he ate of it, then what happened? You'll read it in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And if you want to know why is there cancer in the world, why is there sickness in the world, why is there death in the world, you'll find it. What does it say in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12? Now listen carefully, for I ain't going to quote it. As by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death has reigned upon all men, for all have sinned. That's where it all begins, friends. That's where death was born, in the Garden of Eden. And thank God someday death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. And today, friends, we live. We live, friend, in the awful aftermath of that event. You know, friend, in spite of the suffering, in spite of the pain, and in spite of the whys, one truth still remains the same tonight. God is love. My text doesn't say God was love. My text doesn't say God will be love. My text says God is love. Thank God tonight in the year of 2018. God is still love. Isn't that wonderful? Boys, I'm telling you, that's good news for a breaking heart. And tonight, my dear unsaved friend, the big question is tonight, do you believe that text? I want to first of all bring to you tonight the proof of that text. Man, I can prove to you tonight that text is true. Do you see when you read verse number 9 of that chapter, listen to what it says now. Listen to what it says. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because of God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Ah, friend, I'll tell you, that proves God is love tonight. God's love, listen dear, God's love is not like the world's love. Oh, the world's love. I'll tell you, the world's love tonight, the world's love. The world's love is nothing, only a deceitful love at times. More people that has been hurt and pained over the world's love. What do you mean, more people's been hurt and pained over the world's love? I'm going to give you a couple of wee examples. You get some young fellow and he goes up to a girl and he says, darling, you're the most loveliest girl I've ever laid my eyes upon. And he brings her a dozen of roses. A dozen of roses are costly, man. And he gives her a dozen of roses. And he says, there you are. I love you. And the next night he's running off with somebody else. I look back to my own day. My wee lad, Nathan. And you remember one night he says, Daddy, I really love you. Do you, son? Oh, I love you, Daddy. He says, Daddy, you know, I love the way you can kick football. And I've got two left feet. He says, do you, son? Do indeed, he says. He says, Daddy, don't you know I really love you? I says, I do, son. And by this stage, your head's about as big as a pumpkin. And I'm walking away feeling proud. And then it comes again, Daddy. And you turn around. And the hand's out. You wouldn't lend me a favor, would you? See, God's love tonight. God's love doesn't cheat. God's love tonight doesn't make a fool out of you. God's love doesn't demand anything. Not one thing. And my dear unsaved friend in this meeting tonight, God loves you in spite of what? There's a wee 3-year-old son one time, a wee 3-year-old lad called Tommy, he wasn't. Come home from Sunday school one day, just began going to the early Sunday school. Wee tiny touch class. He come home running from Sunday school one Sunday and he jumped onto his granny's knee and granny gave him a wee cuddle. You know there, you granny's cuddle, the wee ones. And the granny says, tell me this, Tommy, well, what you learn at Sunday school today, son? And in his own wee simple explanation, he says,
Granny, you know our teacher told us about a man called Jesus. And you know, Granny, that man, he was a fool. Granny says, that's an awful thing to say. Jesus was a fool? Oh, indeed he was, Granny, indeed he was. What makes you think that, said the Granny? This is only a wee 3-year-old. Because, Mama, you know what you told us? You know what you told us? Bad men took them. And they nailed them to a cross, Granny. And there was these, he couldn't pronounce the word legions of angels. That could have stopped it. That could have prevented it. Granny, he didn't ask for help. Wasn't he a fool, Granny? Wasn't he a fool? Granny just took him and pulled him in tight till her chest and says, son, Jesus was no fool. Because when he hung on that old rugged cross, he could see you and he could see me. And he wanted to die for you. And he wanted to die for me. Sinner friend tonight, unsaved person, I want you tonight to look to the cross. And I want you tonight to get a good look at the one that was crucified there. Look tonight at the crucified one, bearing shame and scoffing rude. Why was he there? In your place. Condemned, he stood. And on that cross, on that dark, awful, black, dead Calvary, friend, they could see you. And they could see me. In our great need. And in his love for you. And in his love for me. He stood on the cross. And there he suffered. And he bled and died. Do you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because he was made sin for us. And friend, we need to get back to exposing sin. And we need to get back to preaching about sin to me. And there's one thing you need to learn. God is love. Do you know the gospel is like a coin? It's got two sides. It has indeed. There's two sides to every coin. And the gospel coin has two sides in it. And the one bright side says, God is love. Ah, but the other side says, man is lost. Oh, that's the side nobody likes to see. That's the side that hits people hard. Then God is love. Man is lost. And if you're in this meeting today and you're not saved, you're lost. You're lost. I am sick and I am tired of men and women today who are depending upon denominations. They would tell you, I am Presbyterian. Listen, you're lost. I'm sick and tired of people saying I'm free Presbyterian. Listen, you're lost. I'm sick and tired of people saying I'm Baptist. Listen, you're lost. Man is lost. Listen, if you're an unsaved man, an unsaved woman in this meeting tonight, you're lost and you're perishing. But God is love. God is love. Tell me this, dear. Does that not tug at your heart? Does that not tug at the heartstring this evening. To know that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Friend, I can tell you, your heart must be like an adamant stone if it doesn't touch your heart. That God loves you. God is love. There's no two ways about it. God is love. You see, that's the proof of my text tonight. Calvary is the proof of my text. The cross tonight is the proof of my text. I'll tell you, the nail-scarred hands is the proof of my text tonight. I'll tell you this, the wounded side tonight is the proof of my text. That thorn-scarred brow is the proof of my text tonight. God is love. If you look at verse 9, you've got the power of my text tonight. That ye might live through him. Through him. You know, friend, tonight, this text not only reveals the proof, it reveals the power. That we might live. Sinner friend, this is what's wrong with the people in Ballymena tonight. They're alive, but they've no life. This is what our province is. This is the problem of our province. It's full of people that's alive, but they've no life. Let me tell you this, life, life, abundant life. Jesus alone is the giver. It's not religion. Let me tell you this. And you get this often. Jesus Christ is not a religion, he's a reality. God is not a religion, he's a reality. Man has turned God into a religion. Man has turned Jesus into religion. I'm not trusting in a religion. I'm trusting in a person. It wasn't religion that hung and suffered and bled and died on a cross. It was a person. Do you believe it? It was a person. A real person, born of a virgin, made sin for me, crucified to a cross. Not a religion at all. And he hung on that old rugged cross, shamed and scorned, but smitten of God and afflicted. And on that old rugged blood-stained cross, the brother brought us to the cross tonight. Man, I'll tell you, there's nothing like getting to the cross. And you know, friend, there on the cross, he not only suffered at the hands of man, he suffered at the hands of God. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, nobody else's. And it pleased God. It satisfied God to bruise him. And sinner friend tonight, every moment, every split second, of that cross that Christ spent on the cross was for you. So that you might live. He died that you might live. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died that we may go at last to heaven. Saved. Aye, saved. By and through his precious blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ tonight has the power to forgive sin. And thank God he has the power to take away sin. And he has the power tonight to cleanse from sin. The blood, let me get that over to you now. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And the Lord Jesus would speak into that heart of yours, that lonely heart, that dark heart, that restless heart. Do you know what he wants to say to your heart right now? He wants to say this. come. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And friend, tonight he has the power to really make you alive in him. Alive in him. Unsaved man tonight, you might be alive, but you're dead to God. You might be alive, but you've no life. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live. Live, listen to this, but through him, not through any church, not through any creed, not through any sacrament. Through him, Christ and Christ alone. Take a good look at the fellow up with the pulpit. You can see me. Can you all see me? Here's a wee word of testimony. Take a good look. Not hard to look at a handsome boy like me. Take a good look at me. Can you see me? God hath given to me eternal life. And this life is not in a Baptist church. This life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm standing here. The possessor of eternal life, made alive by the Lord Jesus. I remember that night, the 26th of August, 1985. Monday night it was. A Monday night! I came to Jesus as I was. Weary, worn and sad. But I found in him it was an awful year in 85. I found in him that night a resting place, boys and boys, and he made me glad. He did indeed. Maybe you've come to this meeting tonight. Do you know something? There's people all around us. Do you know how they feel tonight? I'll tell you how they feel. They feel unloved. Believe you me, they're in families, but they feel unloved. Feel unloved. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you feel unloved. I'm pointing you to one tonight who really loves you. And he died on a cross for you. It was the opening night of another gospel campaign that I did for Lurgan Baptist Church at a place called Grace Hall. And I remember that opening night. I preached on the text, "Whom do men say that I am?" That was my text for that night. And on that opening night, a man said to me at the door, he says, "Can I talk to you?" He says, "How you can?" And the smell of the alcohol, boy, would have made you drunk. And brought him into a wee room, an elder and myself and another man. He says, "Is it true? Does God really love me?" He says, "He does. Really loves you." Drink or no drink? Tears started to come. Do you know tonight nothing can break the heart more than the power of love? And the two of us, and I'll tell you this tonight, I don't rush anybody into salvation and I don't force anybody into salvation. And I counseled them. And he brought him to that place where he knew where he was. And he knew what he was.
knew what he had to do. And there in that room, he and I knelt together. He trusted the Lord. God loves you tonight. And he wants to give you eternal life tonight. But I'm going to finish with the problem of my text. Because there's a problem with this text tonight. And it's found, don't turn to it, I don't want any interruptions. I want to quote it. It's found in John 5 and 40, where Jesus says, "But ye would not come. Ye will not come, that ye may have life." There's people want heaven tonight, but they're not prepared to come. Is that you tonight? Is that the problem? Don't be telling me tonight you can't come. No, that's not going to wash with me, and it won't wash with God. The problem is you will not come. It's not love that you can't come. Ye will not come, Jesus said. You have this choice tonight. You come or you will not come. I want you tonight to do something. I want you tonight to prove John 5:40 different. I don't want you to be named in John 5:40. Will you come tonight? Will you repent of your sin tonight? You have to repent of your sin. That's the condition. You have to give your sin up. You have to repent. You have to turn away from it. You can't come to God tonight. You can come the way you are, but you must come in repentance and sorry. Turn away from your sin. And you must turn to the Savior. Turn to the Savior while in mercy is calling. And steer for the harbour lake, for how do you know that your soul could be drifting? Over the deadly.